listeners, you're welcome to another episode of The Barman's Barbecue. Here we examine sacred cows, we roast them and serve them as it is hot. Hello, what up, ladies and gentlemen?
Gentlemen. It's been a minute. Hi, guys.
Hi. Good day. What's been happening in your life, Isabella?
Nothing. I was watching Korean K-pop movie.
Are you serious?
Korean movie. It's interesting, though.
Yeah, of course.
She's the one that indoctrinated me.
I remember once we were watching Jumong. Oh, we loved Jumong so much. We watched it so much. Popsi came to see what we're doing, and him and Momsi joined us to watch it.
And I finished Lies with Believe About God today.
Oh.
Why did it take me long to read that book?
Right, yeah. So, so this particular episode is a memorial episode in honor of my dad.
Yes.
Yeah, PZ Agnea. You know, growing up in primary two, someone was asking me, is your dad the owner of PZ Industries?
that is the first thought I had. When he said that, I was like, why is this one called PZ? Are you by any means, any chance, I'll be so happy.
I'm like, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, so my dad's initials, amazing. PZ. Yeah, Powers. Yeah, Kede Agnea. And this is a memorial podcast. He passed on the 31st of August. I don't know, is it 2018 or 2019 now?
I think it's 2018.
Yeah, so we are doing 3 years memorial service. In his honor. So yeah, so today, yeah, we're just gonna be talking about dad.
Yes. Maybe, did you feel anyhow today? Did you feel like mushy mushy?
No,
I miss my daddy.
Yeah, today. I've been feeling mushy mushy. Like,
Do you have random "I wish my daddy was here" moments?
Not, I don't know. Like, so the other day, because the room I stay now. He used to occupy the room. I mean, it was my room. I left to fend for myself. Then after he went to join the crowd of witnesses, I came back to the house to occupy my room. So I was always happy that there's something I must have dropped. I must have dropped a lot of spiritual energy to make this room appealing to him.
Oh, now
so I was in the room.
Pride is worrying you. I thought it would be the other way around. You like that dropping the energy.
So I was in the room. I left. Then Popsi was like, he loved the room. Stayed there then all the time.
Then you dropped, you collected. Then he collected, dropped.
You know?
Okay.
So many times when I'm on the bed, I just like randomly remember how he had Popsi had the bell. Right, so whenever I needed any of us, you press the bell. And
are you serious?
It's going to sound in the other
shouting,
of,
instead of screaming. That's very good. I have it when I have children.
Popsi has always been technology savvy. No stress. You know, we had a computer school back then in 1995. The business was at the number one Uyo Street.
D-line?
Yeah,
or
just with my one.
Okay,
yeah. So we had Poza computers. You know, in the time where maybe Popsi spares, you'll be looking at computers 666. You know, we had all the latest versions of Windows.
You guys were on the frontiers of advancement.
Yeah, so like, and his computer literacy really helped. The federal parastatal we worked with then on PADEC. So he was a master with Microsoft Excel. So back then, to improve, let's say, salary structure of everybody in the commission in the whole of Nigeria, like that was his thing. So with just one command, boom, everybody, you know, like, but then his bosses were like, man, this guy is a genius. They all wanted to work, and he knew all the contractors, the amount of money, do them, everything in his head, like every job
head.
Done, everything. Like he, I remember. So I many times, sometimes when contractors will come to like maybe give him money to fast track their payment or stuff, you're like, no, I'm already paid for this. Just relax, right? As long as on my table, don't worry, you will get your money. And so that kind of like endeared him to a lot of the contractors, and
I think what's important for me about your dad's life is presence. Yes, I think what's important to me about your dad's life is presence, because Tumama almost has a story. Tumama wrote this whole book. He has this book called 60 Days of Power, 60 Days of Stories About His Dad. And he has stories that can pop up from nowhere about his dad for every situation, which I think is really nice. I have a dad. My dad is late. I don't think I have so many stories about him. So I think one of the things I have learned from your own dad is how you used to say presence is important. So
yeah, presence is impact.
Yes, basically. And a lot of other people to say nice stuff. Like, you don't run into people and they're remembering him randomly. That was why I was asking if you usually do have a, if my daddy was here moment every now and then.
So I think it left us like very good memories. And you know, there's a time I was in Coventry. Just like talking to my brother, and then his flatmate at the time was not like, you know, she was there because of Popsy. I was like, oh, the other time in Uniben, I walked into a room, and this random room, and this guy was just like, when he heard my son, he was like, are you PZ Aguinea's son? And the guy was reading medicine.
Bina, my friend, she was like, she worked in a hospital. No, she worked with someone who worked in a hospital, and then your dad's name popped up. I don't know how. And she was like, so what was that? Like, his name had gone far and beyond and wide. So, like,
yeah.
I remember when, was it the service of song? Which one did they hold at USC? And the guy was saying, one of the pastors was preaching. What was he saying? He was saying all this stuff, like, there was something he said, we don't know where we end. What, there was one preaching I was preaching, my man, I was like, like this preaching, remember, he's sitting right now. There was something they kept saying, I can't remember, but,
So maybe we can talk about things people say when people die.
Yeah.
You know, or some people come and pray, they come and pray like, so we pray that this one will end up in heaven.
Yes, brother. Yeah, God gives and God takes.
God gives and God takes. And
we don't know when we'll soon go. All kind of.
Yeah, so sometimes I think when such comments are made, Mom, she would just like look at me and just But of course, like I'm not too violent. I just laugh.
I can't remember what the word was, but I know that there was a moment where the girl was preaching. There was one preaching was preaching. It was weird. I just knew that it's a normal thing in conventional Christian circles to say that. But my mind, I was like, whatever do I want to see that this one just flew by his head, right?
So my brother is reading the book Lies We Believe About God. She's finished reading it, finally. When I was telling her to read it, she was like,
you know?
She doesn't take me serious. But now she has finished reading it, and we celebrate grace for that. And one of the lies,
the biggest one that
there are so many,
it's number one, like, oh, this is true. What would be the lie that death can separate us from the love of God?
So death is separate. No, death is more powerful than God.
Okay, yes, that's how I put it. Yes.
Yeah, so like that death is more powerful than God. You know, many people, many Christians believe that, of course, death is not more powerful than God.
Because they have not really thought of the context in which we are speaking.
Yeah. So a lot of us, we have the idea that, oh, he has died, there is nothing.
We can do. I hope he lived well when he was on earth.
Or if we hear that someone passes, the first thing we ask is that, was he saved?
And was he saved? That's the first thing. I'm feeling. I just know. Like, so sometimes first I ask, I say, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So if he was not saved, then what? So what? Like,
no hope for him.
So no hope for him. Because he has died now, God's hands are tied. And like, go, my hands are tied, my son, I love you, but now you are dead, and
there's nothing
I can do for you. Like, Poyang will say that there's something you never hear God say, that he's dead and there's nothing I can do about it. You know, he's the resurrection and the life.
Yeah.
And so then death is not more powerful than God, right? If someone dies, in fact,
all hope is not lost.
All hope is not lost. Whether the person believes or the person does not believe. Right, and I think that's one of the things that maybe losing a loved one has done to me. It's just like when most superheroes, they lose a loved one, or rather fictional characters, when they lose a loved one, they become something. That's when they become the Batman or the Joker.
Or some go haywire.
Yeah, so like you just finally don't really give a damn, right, about things. Many like what. You know, I'm not saying this because of like I'm scared that my dad will not make heaven or something, but it's just the truth, and I no longer care, right?
If we say Jesus has the keys to heaven and hell, he went and conquered death and everything, then it makes it, and after he died, he went to hell and preached to people. It makes sense that death is not the end, patapata, then they go to hell, and there's nothing God can do, then God turns back and says, it doesn't add up, actually. Yeah, like, math is not mathing.
Yeah, like he has the keys of hell and of Hades, but then it's like dangling it in front of our loved ones, saying that,
I
would have loved to help you, but...
Yeah, this scenario Paul Young made, when he was like, what happened? And this is the same question I used to ask, so...
Yeah.
but his own is a different slant. What happens to people that, like, people that have mental illness, they can have second chance when they pass over because they're not. So Paul Young was like, hey, why did God strike with mental illness? So whether or not I can use that loophole to pass through. Except when people say, oh, people that have never heard preaching of the gospel, that God will judge them by their conscience. So, like, oh yeah, you should cook my drugs all over their conscience. You know,
like, as if, like, that's why I love the artwork by
David Hayward
yesterday. Pastor, like, he was like, there's a picture of a shark, and then there was a bit.
Yes, with like love. A small thing, evangelism.
Evangelism is just like, that there's a love of God will be preached to you. But when you enter, man, it's you're inside the belly of the beast, you know. And but yeah, like talking about Popsy, yeah. So a lot of I think one of the things about his life that exemplified the gospel, or was in itself a proclamation of the gospel, is inclusion, right? And the gospel, if you've not heard it before from this podcast, is that you are included. Right, the gospel is not that you can receive Jesus into your life. Rather, the gospel is that Jesus has received you into his life, into the love he shares with the Father, and into his anointing with the Holy Ghost, that we are all in. We are included. Buddhist, Christian, Muslim, everyone, you are included. Just an aside. Paul Young said that, why did Jesus ascend immediately after he died?
Why?
He said that he will not become a Christian.
That's not
you will not have anybody to come and preach to him that will you receive Jesus into your life.
But is there any Jesus now?
You know? So for them, the gospel is that you are included, and Popsy really lived a life of inclusion.
My own for me was his patience. When people are pushing his car, just come out and go back inside. I don't know those things. Like, how? How does someone bash your car? You just come out, shake your head, and go back inside.
Yeah.
How?
Okay, yeah. So,
but now I think I'm getting it small, but because in the end, it's a thing, yeah. But how, like, almost.
Yeah, Mirabella is referring to the story. So, I read this book in honor of Popsy. I think, so I'm going to, like, put a soft copy on one of the links. So, just watch out somewhere. Maybe on my link tree, or I'll put a link to it's a PDF version of the book so you can read it.
Yeah.
Right. So there is one of the stories written by Dr. Dimaro, right? It talked about the bashing PZ's car. So there's this relative of mine, he was staying with us, he bashed Popsy's car. And you know, you'd expect that, you know, the Nigerian, your African dad's reaction typically would be to, like, spank you, do this, do
just
that.
Just get angry, like.
Yeah, but Popsy just came, saw the car, and just, he didn't even say anything, he just left. And the writer was saying that his dad never heard. I think that's love covering a multitude of sins, right? Yeah, and again, also my cousin, after driving school, he drove our car to the church and he bashed a portion of the church. Yes, so the chapter in the book is called Wrecking Ball. So it was when, after he jammed that part, that's when the church decided to scatter the whole building and rebuild.
Set a scene for the ground.
You know, so that wrecking ball. Yeah, so when he went home again, he was scared that Popsy will, like, shout, rant, my car, you know. But my dad was like, if you never jump, can you never sabi drive?
The patience for me, though.
You know, so, man, like, that really helped him, and, you know, that love, that confidence. So that's
Zubabo's favorite story. It's one called Father of the Day. But I like his shot. It's like something that makes a good short film.
Yeah, okay. But I have so many there. We didn't tell a lot of stories.
It's like the story of Jesus.
Yeah.
Is there a book that will contain all these stories?
You know, there was one, there's a guy called Elvis. I don't know where he is. So, remember, this true life story.
Are you serious?
Elvis, he came and he was kind of like one of those guys.
Why is he called Elvis?
I don't know. You know, in Jumbo, we have, like, the strangest names. Yeah, so he came to rob Popsy. I mean, this is a guy that almost always, like, flanked Popsy, like a PA or something.
Then he came to rob
like
him.
Palace boy. So this day, he came with gun. But how Popsy disarmed him, I don't know. right? With like, you told him to wait. When
it's so weird. Had you ever asked your father for something your father didn't give him or didn't look for it? I mean, he just thought stealing is the way.
Yeah, so but yeah, Popsy entered and went to usually, and when people come to intimidate Popsy like that, he like gives them food, tell them to sit down, they will eat.
That's what I like about him, the patience. Like someone like me, if you do that in one time, I'll close door, every other people, affect every other people, yeah. Close door, left, right, and center. Yeah. But he kept opening his doors and his heart to people.
Yeah, so they are again and again, and I think that's a lesson that, you know, when bad things happen to us, right, we should hold it, absorb it, and by the grace of God, transmute it. Scripture says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. It reminds me of an article I read recently about Abraham. How this, like, so there is like I don't know what it's called now, maybe a midrash or a rabbinic literature about Father Abraham, that when he was small his dad actually was abusive. Right? Yeah. And like his father like maybe put him through the fire, and so that's why Abraham was comfortable sacrificing Isaac. You know, why did... So the question that it was Rabbi Daniel Rutenberg, what she was asking is that, why didn't Abraham... Abraham protested when God was about destroying a pagan nation. He interceded. But when it comes to his children...
I think because it was their culture a lot those days. They should pass their children through shit.
So, but why, is it that Abraham was comfortable interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah,
but not his son? That's what I'm saying. I think they had that culture. Even through the Bible, you see people are just willing to slaughter their children like as a sacrifice.
And I think it really happens, like where a lot of fathers are, you see them doing, they're all nice to people outside, but when it comes to their children, they are not so nice.
Especially
pastor's children, like, right? So because of like the abuse, well, again, so because of they have not dealt with their own trauma within, the trauma of an abusive dad, they pass it on to their children.
And so, I think it's also our teachings. Like, your family, you can sacrifice your family for the greater good kind of teaching.
This is not scripture, so yeah.
How was your daddy's relationship?
My daddy...
I'm curious. Did you ever talk about it?
I don't know. We didn't have that
conversation. I'd like to know much. Like what led to your father being the way your father is.
But I think like I feel like that's what like Paul Young is somewhat similar to Paul Young, because of like in the first few stories in this book, like he talked about his upbringing. He was like mentored mostly by his grand auntie.
Oh, okay.
So women had a major role in his formation, right? The love and care he had from the women in his life, it was really helpful to him. So I think that really formed him. And I think similar to Paul Young, again, it was like that's why he was very furious. He's a furious defender of women.
Right?
In Paul Young's book, The Shark, he portrayed God the Father as a black African-American woman.
And his mother was not having it.
Yeah?
Until she had it.
So Paul Young like had, my dad also had a lot of women, like his grand auntie, and other women who sponsored his education, took care of him, and ensured he had the best. And of course, there are other male figures in his life. Like I remember my cousin's mom, he stayed with them for quite some time. So I think that's kind of like helped. And the other time I was at the village, I saw where my father grew up. You know, of course, we usually go to the village. And he, he was paddling, right? Selling fish and paddling to school. I mean, you can imagine from paddling to school in a village in Bumadi to like being like the MD of NDDC. I mean, like, what shift? And it's a story of God's goodness or God's grace, taking somebody from the dunghill.
Started
from the creeks, now we're here. So that's like typical story. And so many amazing, which other story can I think of? Popsy. Yeah, you know that my dad contested to be the governor of Delta State.
Why didn't you win? It'd be a while, would I have known you? I'd have known you about that. It's even money.
Yeah, so and that's why, like, again, so instead of you being silent about things in politics, right? So just bashing that these politicians, they are evil and this. So my dad believed in participation. I mean, it had always been like that from his SUG days. I remember him telling us the story of him going to... it was the founding, I don't know, it was maybe secretary of River State University, now RSU. It was then RSUST. It was the secretary general of the SUG.
Yeah.
Student Union Government. And when the dining hall or refectory was too small to accommodate everybody, so my dad moving around campus getting signatories to sign like petition to convoke what did they call it now, Congress. And the VC was that like, why, you know? And so they found a way to settle without the need to convoke is it what they call Congress or whatever. So he was very, very active in politics, both in Delta States, Ijaw, everywhere. He was everywhere just to make sure that he was someone who lived for justice, right? That a better and equitable society for all. And if I can be half that, I think it would be good for...
Do you think his relationship with you will somehow influence your own fathership or fatherhood? Is fathership a word? With your own future children? Are there things you will take from him?
Yeah, of course, there are things that I've already taken from him. Like, you know, so many times we can't, we don't even have a choice as to what we pick. It has to be even deliberately leaving off some things, right? But subconsciously, by mimesis, we just pick up these traits.
What do you think is that one thing that you want to replicate?
No, I think it's what I don't want to... I drag my dad in public.
No,
I won't. But I feel like everything, like just being there for other people, I think I've already taken it. That's just the point.
Are you sure? Are you there for me?
Marilla, oh, Jesus. Presence, yeah. For church, he was there. Like, so one of some things I will not do, I mean, I still do church. Yeah, and I hope, but yeah, I'm still...
We all have what we will not do with our friends.
Yeah.
We all have what we will do better.
Yeah.
They knew better, but yeah, I'm just curious as to what is that one thing that you would like to really... presence for you.
Yeah, so presence. Thankfully, but him and my mom, they were... I really loved their relationship. So they were a good tag team, right? So he could do the much he did because of mom's backing. Right, yeah. So I was like, my dad took me to school 3 times. The first day of school, like secondary school, in the middle of school, one sala where we're driving. No, just a sala.
He just
drove me to school, and I remember he was playing Bob Marley. That it was really nice. So I've been lucky to be. And then the last day of school, when he came with swag, you know, because he had been appointed father of the day. And I wasn't sure I was going to make it. I mean, so we were in parade, right? You know, move to the left in trees, left down, without thinking about parade, right? You know, then so far we were almost rounding up. Then next thing, we saw like a convoy. Then I had not known that Popsy was now this big shot somewhere. You know, then we just saw a convoy driving to school. And then people were not like, is the FOC, like flag officer commanding, that is like the boss of the Navy in the whole of the East. It's like the FOC is coming, or the CNS. Like, are they surprising us? Like, they are pulling a prank on us, or that kind of thing. But then whispers, like, it's the Bamon's dad. You know? I was like, then indeed it was Popsy. You know, he came
feeling it in that moment.
I was like, yes, you know.
In that moment.
It was so nice, yeah. So so going places and have people say only positive things about your dad, I mean, it's just such a blessing. Right, the impact, the reach, you know, generosity, being there for people, right? So he lived other-centered, self-giving, co-suffering. Right, that was basically how he lived. He may not have had the theology,
yeah,
right, but he had the autopraxy,
Which is more important in my opinion.
He might not have had the orthodoxy, which is the doctrine, but he had the autopraxy, which is the practice.
Is that a word?
Yeah. he had the practice. He practiced the faith through and through, which is love, even up till death, you know. And so what many people don't know is that Popsi went through a lot physically. I mean, so his health, like he went through a bone marrow transplant, right? He had a blood issue, and he was out of the country for months getting treatment. In fact, there was a time, like, Mabella, you will not believe this story. Yeah, of course you believe it. But there was a time where I think he needed blood transfusion.
Yeah.
And I think it was from Lasso. But the blood that they were about to infuse into his body was HIV infested.
Ew.
In Nigeria. But yeah,
no.
It was a miracle. Like, I'm not telling the story, right? But it was a miracle that they figured it out. Yeah, just last minute, they just decided to test it.
Jesus.
And they found that. You know, and then even the medical bills, right? His medical bills in the UK, because it was thousands of pounds.
I can imagine him going through that, and people still coming to ask for help, not knowing that he's going through shit.
Yeah. So and he never really put it on anybody's face. Mm. It's only we on the inside. So many times I'll feel like, God, like then you know, I have so much faith, energy. I was like, if I could just if we could swap places, that somehow I can maybe. If I take his burdens upon myself, I can be maybe praying in tongues and watch it burn. I really wish that, you know, that's it doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way.
It's not magic.
Yeah. So, he would be in pains. Many times he would come back. We'll be massaging him, right? Applying ointment on his back, his body, because of the treatment, the skin, is it skin grafting or different things? Like, it had a lot of side effects on his body, right? But despite, you know, just like Paul said, fastings, persecutions, trials, despite all this, even court cases, there was somebody that my dad went to sign shorty the other time in our morning devotion. We're talking about it, about being a guarantor for people. He signed shorty for this guy. The guy has properties in JRA, Port Harcourt. The bank will not go and collect the guy's properties. It's Popsi's account. They want to freeze.
Why?
Do you understand? Like, so at the time, they freezed all his accounts because of, like, he was guarantor for somebody. And so, right, yeah. So because of his passion for Ijaw people. So when they come to him for one thing or the other, he will stake his life for them. And even before the car wreck happened, he was going to Delta State to meet with some gubernatorial aspirants, right, encouraging them, giving them ideas, and suggesting ways to take Delta State forward. It was on his way back that the accident happened. Yeah, so the lesson for me is just, again, if you've not listened to the podcast, Death and Becoming Human, right? So Popsi showed what it means to be human. And on my status today, let me read... On my status today, let me read what it has gone.
That means you didn't post it today, no?
I posted it yesterday, but I read it from, Jesus participated in all that we are, right? All of our life and even all to the point of death, so that we can participate in all that he is, right? So that the Son of God became the Son of Man, so that the sons of men can become sons of God, right? Basically, Dad, I love my father.
So, right? If he's sending me a message, what would you tell him?
I don't know.
If you have one email to send your father, now you say, I don't know, and you're just saying that you love him now,
but I'm still an Ajapako, so to say I love you, I'll be not even brushing my face. So I miss you, like,
not so much,
yeah.
So, Mama, send your daddy a message. Listen to this podcast.
Yeah, so I love you, daddy. So give Jesus a high five that he did a good job. So that's just it, basically. But any word of encouragement to people who...
Yeah, the one I'll give word of encouragement.
Yeah, so like people have them, how do we grieve? Like,
there's no way to grieve. Just grieve the way you grieve.
Yeah. And again, that death is not the end. Death is not more powerful than God.
Yes.
Right. And whether somebody died in, like, nobody actually dies outside of Christ, because of in Him we live and move and have our being. All things, you know. And you know, Mirabella, do you know that all means all?
Yep.
The listeners, do you know that all means all, right? So all things were made for Him, by Him, and in Him do all things consist. Whether principalities of ours.
All, darling. All.
Right. So if you've lost a loved one, right, whether they were in Christ or not, whether they said the sinner's prayer or not, best believe it, they are in the embrace of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God loves them. God is with them.